Well, thank you, Nigel and Emma. Thank you for worship. Hello again, church. There's a subject I want to bring to us over the next few weeks that sometimes when you look at this subject, you think, I don't know if I want to start this or not. And it's about spiritual gifts. Now, if you've been in church for any length of time, when we start speaking about spiritual gifts, different thoughts can come into our mind. One thought can be, wow, it's about time we had some teaching on spiritual gifts. Or, ooh, I've been in churches like that and they're a little bit uneasy and I don't know what's going to happen. Well, let me say from the beginning, God is a God of order, not disorder. And when it comes to spiritual gifts, Paul wants to emphasize so much about this. And I want to bring some teaching, not fresh revelation, but teaching. I would like us as a church to actually examine the scriptures, to see what God says to us, to see what we can communicate one to another. If there's something that you struggle with when it comes to spiritual gifts, then communicate with me. But bear with us. Let's go through these next 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 or longer, however long it takes us to look at spiritual gifts. Before I say anything else about spiritual gifts, let's just read from 1 Corinthians 12. 12, starting at verse 1 down to verse 7. And then let's just have a look at these things. Now, about spiritual gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, or there should I say, are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Verse 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. For the common good. So I want us to just look at those first 7 passages. I want to read through them again. I want to speak and say 1 or 2 things. And when it comes to what Paul is addressing here, he's talking to the church in Corinth, and they seem to lavish these speaking gifts. And he has to bring some order into that. Everybody wants to come with something to say. They want to be on the platform. They want to be the one that's heard. Yet Paul says, all the gifts are from God. All the gifts of the Holy Spirit are there to be exercised for the common good. So now about gifts of the Spirit. Now, there are gifts that God gives us which are natural gifts. I am not naturally good at a lot of things. I would like to think that there are some things that are spiritual gifts for me. The same is for you. But there are some natural things that I am good at. I'm a fixer. I can do certain things. But when it comes to academics, I'm not naturally good. When it comes to finding an answer for a problem, I'm naturally good at that. I'm naturally good at following good leaders. I'm naturally good at being considerate. I'm a considerate person. I have a natural ability to be kind and generous at times. But I'm not talking about our natural, I'm talking about the supernatural. They're the gifts of the Spirit. If we look about the spiritual gifts, the definition is something that's beyond us. Something that allows God to use us in a way that he gets the glory. That's a spiritual gift. I know as I grew up from a child to about 30 years old, before I knew who the Lord Jesus Christ was, before I repented and accepted him as Lord and Saviour, there were certain things that I did. And there were certain things that weren't good. And when we look at the life of Paul, if you just picture this for a moment, it is relevant when we're talking about spiritual gifts, because it's relevant to understand the natural man so that we can understand the spiritual man. Because Paul touches on it here when he's addressing the Corinthian church. So for Paul, he was passionate, wasn't he? In his early walk, he was passionate about persecuting God's people. He was passionate about persecuting God's people because he thought he was doing God a favour. Until one day, the Lord spoke to him and he said, "Who are you, Lord?" He says, "I, Jesus, who you persecute." And then he became passionate to proclaim the gospel to people. You see, Paul thought he was doing the right thing, but he was doing it in the natural, his natural ability. He was his natural ability was to be articulate. He was well schooled. He was well versed in the Torah. He understood the law, a Pharisee above Pharisees. He understood what it was to be what he considered at that time righteous. But the righteousness that he was operating in, he realized in later life, once Jesus got hold of him, it was like filthy rags. So there are natural things that we are good at. There are natural things that we can excel at, and they are good. And they're all attributes that God has given us. But we're talking about the supernatural gifts, the ability to serve God's people for the common good. And we mustn't forget that, for the common good. And there are people, and you may be one of them, that at times when we think about spiritual gifts, we think, oh no. And quite rightly so, because they've been abused, haven't they, over the years in many churches? There's been a lot of abuse. But that shouldn't stop us from together journeying to say, God, what have you gifted me with, and how can I use that gift for the common good? We're not talking about the natural, we're talking about the supernatural. But within this series, maybe we will talk about God's gifts that he's given us, the natural gifts and abilities that he's given us, that we can see church progress. So I want to believe that we as a congregation and us as a people, Grace Community Church, I want to believe that God hasn't finished with us yet and that there's work for us to do. But we can either come out of this lockdown and go forward in the natural, or we can say, Lord, we want to see the supernatural. Father God, quicken to me the gifts that you've given me so I can serve the common good. Amen? Amen. I don't know where you are on your journey, but I want to say to you that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and God has given gifts to everyone. Yes, even you. Yeah, but no buts. God has given you a gift. It's a supernatural gift. Let's see what he says about this. And let's ask God these next weeks to speak to us and ask us what he wants us to do. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters. I do not want you to be uninformed. And it's the uninformed, or some translations, it's a bit stronger than this. It doesn't want you to be ignorant to the spiritual gifts, to the spiritualities. So everything that's done outside of the Spirit of God is carnalities, if you like. It's a worldly viewpoint. So when Paul didn't understand who Jesus Christ was, he was operating in the carnal, in the natural. Then he started to operate in the spiritual. He doesn't want us to be uninformed, nor does God. God wants us to know. Remember what the Bible says, know the truth and the truth will set you free. I want you to know the truth about spiritual gifts. I don't want you to be freaked out about spiritual gifts. I don't want you to think that suddenly you're going to walk into Grace Church and everything's going to be chaotic. It is not, because God is a God of order. We don't have to be loud. We don't have to be exuberant all the time. But we do have to be joyful. We do have to be faithful and not fearful. We need to be filled with his Spirit so that we can say, like John did, less of me and more of you. So when we go to minister to people, we can minister in the power of the Spirit. There's a word for that power, and it's called dunamis. It's where the root word of dynamite comes, an explosion. And that's what we're talking about. Not from the natural, but from the supernatural. So let's agree together to explore what God is saying so that we are informed, not uninformed. In verse 2 it says this, you know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray by mute idols. Paul understood that paganism was a religion in itself and they were led astray. Paul is always talking about the falsehoods. He's always talking about false apostles, false teachers, false idols, false gods. And in a moment I'll read what it says in the Psalms about the idols, but how people used to worship them. I used to smile when I would read scriptures such as this one, where the psalmist says, you take a piece of wood and you cut it in two, and half of it you burn to cook food on, and the other half you worship. How foolish. But these people were led astray by those mute idols. So they understood there were things that would happen that weren't natural, but they weren't from the spirit of God. They were the spirit of the demoniac. In verse 3, therefore, I want you to know, I want you to know, I want you to be informed, he says, that no one who is speaking by the spirit of God says Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, this portion of scripture here doesn't indicate that there was a question asked. It doesn't indicate that there was a situation that Paul was addressing. But we need to assume here something which is a spiritual truth. That those that are born again of God's Spirit, those that have accepted Jesus Christ as Saviour and Lord, cannot say, Jesus be cursed. Because if Christ is in you, then he's the hope of glory. You can't suddenly say, Jesus be cursed, if you're a Christian, a follower of Christ. And when you say, Jesus is Lord, we can say, Jesus is Lord, but when we say, Jesus is my Lord, it can only be by the Holy Spirit. That's a gift. That faith that we have is a gift from God. So Paul says here that, you know, we're talking about spiritual things. If you're a man or a woman of the Spirit, you've been born again of God's goodness and God's grace, and he dwells within you. You cannot say, Jesus be cursed. And you cannot say, Jesus is your Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit that we're talking about. In verse 4 it says this, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of gifts. It's not just one gift. When we think about the gifts that God, the spiritual gifts, it's from that word charismata, and we get the charismatic from there. And it's from that charismatic that some churches have abused the spiritual gifts. And we can think that it's just one gift. It's a gift of just speaking in tongues, or it's a gift of the just manifestations of certain things that seem to be weird and wonderful. But it's clear what Paul is saying here. There are different kinds of gifts. There are lots of different gifts. And this list that we're going to read out maybe next week, that's not where the list finishes. There's a gift of administration. There's a gift of grace. There's a gift of faith. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. So the spiritual gifts is a supernatural empowerment for service. God wants to empower you to serve his plans and purposes. But it's the same Lord. There are different kinds in verse 6 of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. In other words, there are different gifts given by God. There are different gifts endowed by the same Lord. There are different gifts impacted through the same Spirit. And it's the same, it's a different gift, but different people operate in different ways. I'm a pastor of Grace Community Church, and we have X amount of members. And there may be another pastor of a different church that has X amount of members. And he may have thousands, and I haven't. Does it make him any more gifted than me? You might say yes, but I say no. Because if he's doing what God has called him to do in the power of the Holy Spirit, and I'm doing what God has called me to do in the power of the Holy Spirit, then we're both gifted, but we're operating in different ways. But it's the same Lord. And when we look at these portions of scripture here, it's the same Spirit, it's the same Lord, it's the same God. There's the Trinity there again, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In verse 7, it says this, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given. The manifestation of the Spirit. So God's given a spiritual gift to you, and it manifests. Why? I'm glad you asked. for the common good. For the common good. We read last week about there's a common inheritance for all of us. We're all going to die at some point unless Jesus comes back before then. But Paul's saying here, the spiritual gifts, the spiritualities, they're there for to empower us for service. There are different kinds of service. There's different ways of working in people according to who they are in the Lord. To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit has been given for the common good. To each one. There's not just a special few people. We're all God's children. We're all special in His eyes. There's an old hymn, isn't there? I'm special because God loves me. Well, you are. You've been chosen. You've been redeemed. You've been predestined for such a time as this. And God wants you to know that you can operate so far in the natural, but you can go a lot further in the supernatural. And I want to just read one or two scriptures at you, maybe bring a bit of testimony as we go along, and we're talking about spiritual gifts. Now, I know, for me, and I'm not in any way, shape or form saying that I am gifted with many spiritual gifts, but I know at times in my life, God has given me a supernatural boldness. A supernatural boldness. There was a time where a very good friend of ours sadly died in a motorcycle accident. And I believe I heard the voice of God speaking to me, not through somebody else, but the Spirit of God just quickening something to my heart. And when I say my heart, I heard it, but not audibly. I heard it on the inside. I hope that makes sense to you. But I heard God's voice. And the day Colin died, this voice said to me, "You don't need to accept that." And this boldness rose up within me, and where I rang his widow minutes after he died and said, "Can I go down to the hospital and pray?" And I won't bore you with the circumstances, but it didn't happen. I was asked not to go, not by the widow, but by my leadership at that time. And that's another story for another day. But there was a supernatural boldness, because me in my natural, I have faith, but I didn't have enough faith and enough boldness to go and lay hands on a dead man. No, I didn't. That was something that God had gifted me with at that time. Does that mean that I now go into hospitals and pray for every deceased person? No, it doesn't. The Holy Spirit endowed me with that dunamis, that power of boldness. That power of boldness and faith to believe God had spoken to me at that moment. And there's another story relating to that that I may share at another time. But what I'm saying to you is, in the natural, that was not my gift, but there was a supernatural impartation. That's a gift of the Spirit. There are times where we sadly had a miscarriage, Susan, and we lost a child. And we had the opportunity to see another child formed in Susan's belly. And we had complications. Susan had many complications. But the Lord said something to me. He said, "You are having a daughter." Now, in the natural, I can make up many reasons why not to say that out loud. Because once I say it out loud, once I make that statement, God has said, then what's going to happen if it doesn't happen? I'm going to look like a fool and a fraud. And that's where sometimes the spiritual gifts get abused. Because someone will stand up and say, "Thus saith the Lord," and it doesn't happen. And we get skeptical. But God spoke into my heart and said, "You are having a daughter." And I said to Susan, "We are having a daughter." And everything said that this child was going to die in the womb. Susan had an ectopic pregnancy. We was told that this child will die because of the operation to remove what was inside. It would kill the second child. There was one growing on the outside and one growing on the inside. We go into hospital. There's a laparoscopy. They do the investigation. Susan comes back out again. No operation. And the good news is, Karis was born. A gift of God. And God gave me that supernatural ability to believe His word at that time. It wasn't natural. It was supernatural. So when I'm speaking about spiritual gifts, they're not always going to be weird and wonderful. They're things that happen and we have to say, this is God. Does that make sense? I hope it does, because I want you to grab hold of this, church. I want us to be a people of purpose, proclamation and power, not by our own ability, but by the ability God has endowed us with. So I want us to re-examine the scriptures, to look back at these gifts and say, Lord, we are a people of power. We are your people. Look at what God says about us. In, I want to read one or two scriptures. In 1 Corinthians 3 verse 1, it says, brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit. This is Paul talking to those pagan people at times. Those that had been converted, but they were acting in the carnal. They were being disorderly. They were just fighting over everything all the time. He said, I couldn't address you as people who live by the Spirit, because you're not living by the Spirit. You're living by the flesh, is what he's saying. But people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ, I gave you milk, not solid food. You were not ready. And he goes on to list that there were jealousies and quarrels and all kinds of things. That's worldly. That's worldly. That's our flesh. But when we start to rise above that, that's the spiritual. Now, I've been in ministry for many years now, and God has graciously kept my feet on the ground. He's kept me married to one person. He's kept me faithful to his church and faithful to Susan. Now, I know my frailties. I know my own abilities. But there has been many, many times where it's been God's ability that's kept my feet on the ground. It's been God's Spirit that's encouraged me to go forward. It's been God's Spirit that showed me who I was. So these are the gifts I'm talking about. The spiritual gifts that will help us to be who God wants us to be. In Psalm 115 verse 4, it talks about the idols. This is where what Paul is saying, but not in these words. But their idols are of silver and gold. They're made by human hands. They have mouths but cannot speak, eyes but cannot see, ears but cannot hear, noses but cannot smell. In verse 7 it says, they have hands but cannot feel, feet that cannot walk, nor can they utter a sound with their throats. In verse 8, those who make them will be like them, and so all who trust in them. In other words, the psalmist is saying, if you put your trust in mute idols, in gods that cannot speak, gods that cannot perform, gods that cannot do the supernatural, then you will be just like those idols. So Paul is addressing these people and saying, you are not spiritual, but you are carnal. So for me and you, the reason I bring this, and it may seem heavy, but it's not, it's actually quite liberating, that you will search out the scriptures and you will see time and time again, it says, by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit of God, by the Spirit of God. And that's what we're talking about. Not the natural, but the supernatural. I believe in angels, but I haven't seen one. I believe in demons, but fortunately I haven't seen one. There is a supernatural realm, and God wants us to operate in the spiritual realm, the Holy Spirit. In Matthew 7, verse 21, it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. So when it talks about no one who is born of the Spirit can say Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit, I'm not talking about people who say Jesus is a Lord, Jesus is a King, Jesus is a Saviour. Not everyone, it says in Matthew 7, 21, not everyone who says to me, this is Jesus speaking, Lord, Lord, in other words, you are my Lord, or you are a Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only one who does the will of the Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, did I not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform miracles. Remember, the devil masks around as an angel of light. We covered that in weeks previous. He counterfeits. Just look at the story. Stories through the Bible where you see where Moses is doing mighty miracles and then this counterfeits. The Bible says that the Beelzebub, Satan, will come and he will deceive even the elect, if that is possible. There are counterfeits. So when we talk about the spiritual, we're talking about the spirit of God, not the spirit of man, not the spirit of carnality. There will be false prophets and there will be counterfeit miracles. Wow, being a Christian means we need these gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gift of discernment, don't we? The gift of wisdom. We need them gifts to help us go through, to help us stay on straight street. It goes on to say, then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you, away from me, you evildoers. So when we say Jesus is my Lord, it's personal. When we say Jesus, you are my Lord, you are my Saviour, it makes it personal. Then God comes and inhabits our space. He comes and speaks to you. He comes and whispers into your ear, child, son, daughter, you can do this. Trust me. Lean not on your own understanding, but lean on me. We need, I believe, in these days, as we come out of lockdown and we go forward as a church, we need to pray and believe, not just pray, but pray and believe for the supernatural, for the gifts that God has given us to be fanned into flame. What did Paul say to Timothy? I'm glad you asked me. He said, do not neglect the gift of the Spirit that God was given you. Do not neglect that gift. I've sadly neglected some of the gifts God's given me. I've said at times, I can't do this. And the truth is, I can't. But I can through him who strengthens me. And maybe you're in a position at this moment in life with bringing up children or being retired or whatever it is. And you go, I can't do this. It's too hard. Well, you can. But Christ in you can. This is where we need to go from the natural to the supernatural. There are times where boldness comes upon me and I speak out God's word. And it's not me speaking, it's the Holy Spirit speaking through me. Because as a child growing up, I didn't say anything. As a teenager, I didn't speak much. I couldn't read very well and I never read out loud. I certainly didn't know what the Bible said. But God gifted me with the ability to understand the scriptures in the simplicity of those scriptures. Now, I'm not a teacher. I'm not someone that can really dig in deep and get nuggets out that are deep within God's word. But all those things that are on the surface and in the middle, I understand them. Why? Because it was a supernatural gift from God. I understand my frailties. And I'm sure it's the same for you. When you look at your life, there are things that you know that without God's gracious hand upon you, you wouldn't be able to do it. That's a gift. That's what we're talking about. It's as simple as that. God's gift. Now, we're running out of time very quickly. So I will just read one or two more scriptures as we conclude this introduction into spiritual gifts. In Acts 2, verse 36, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, Lord and Messiah. Now, how could those apostles stand up and speak to the crowd? They just crucified Jesus. Something happened 50 days after. They were filled with the Spirit of God, and this boldness to preach came upon them. Let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified. Just imagine what he's saying to the people, both Lord and Messiah. There was a boldness that came upon them. It was a gift from God. That's what we are talking about in Matthew 16, 15. But what about you? He asked Jesus. Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You are the Saviour. How did he know that? Gift of the Holy Spirit. That gift of wisdom and knowledge. He understood who this man was. He wasn't just flesh and blood, but he was the living, breathing Messiah that was promised throughout the Old Testament, fulfilled in front of his eyes. It was a gift. It was a gift. Peter had denied Jesus three times, yet 50 days after that event or so, he stood up and he preached. And he preached through the power of the Holy Spirit, the gift that God had given him. And 3,000 got saved that day. What happened? He went from carnal, worldly, from natural to supernatural. That's the dynamics that I want in my life. And I pray that you will pray for in your life. Because God wants to and has indeed given us all gifts. Let's exercise them. Let's use them. Let's ask him afresh, Lord, what is it you've gifted me with? Not just natural, but supernatural. In Romans 1 verse 11, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift. This is Paul speaking, to make you strong. Paul is saying, I long to see you, church, so that I can impart some spiritual gift to make you strong. Remember, God gives us gifts for the common good. It isn't for me or you to look good. It's not for ministers, male and female, for worship leaders, male and female, for evangelists, male and female. It isn't that they've been gifted so that they can say, you can't function without me. They're gifted for the common good. God wants us to exercise our gifts in humility. That's why one of the gifts is wisdom. One of the gifts is knowledge, gift of discernment. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters. I planned many times to come to you, but I can come now. Paul wants to impart God's goodness to God's church. And that's what I want to do. I want to bring over a few weeks a freshness to God's word. That you will not think about the ugly when it comes to spiritual gifts, but the good. Not to think about the bad when it comes to spiritual gifts, but the good. Not to think about the way that men have perverted God's word, but the goodness of God's word. The goodness of his spirit. In 1 Corinthians 1 verse 7, therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ and Lord. We can have that ministered to us today. Therefore, do not lack any spiritual gift. Do not lack any spiritual gift. The Bible talks about, and we'll cover it in other weeks, eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit. Eagerly desire to go from the natural to the supernatural. These are not perverted words. These are biblical. There are many of you listening to this that were called by God's word. Many of you, some of you maybe had visions and dreams. And you knew it was something spiritual, something supernatural. It wasn't a natural thing. For me to go into a church and to make a decision was a supernatural drawing of God. I'd been predestined for that moment. God knew me. He knew my heart. He knew that if I was in the right place, hearing the right message, I'd respond in the right way. And when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Saviour and Lord, I was born of his Spirit. He's given me a measure of his Spirit. I want to see that measure increase. I want there to be more of him and less of me. I want to be able to operate more and more in the supernatural, not the natural. I want to see us grow as people, grow as a church. Kingdom come, will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God wants us to have good things and he wants to have good things now. We are in the world, but not of the world. What's the difference? The difference is the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. I'll leave you with this scripture. And it's taking it slightly out of context, but there's an element of truth within it. And it's in Ezekiel 37, verse 4. Then he said to me, prophesy. In other words, speak it out. Prophesy. Proclaim. Speak to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Remember, there were lots of bones in the valley. The valley of the dead bones. They were dried up. They had no flesh, couldn't function. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. Now the difference between life and death, between dry bones and living bones is the breath of God. So as we together journey into what God wants us to know, as we together journey into the supernatural, in the sense that the abilities that God has already endowed us with, the abilities that he wants to endow us with, the dynamis that he wants us to operate in, as we journey together and explore the scriptures, extracting the truth and throwing the lie away, as we close our ears to what we think and we open our ears to what he says, then together we can pray that prayer. We can prophesy to the dead areas in our lives that God breathe on us, bring us into life. Fill us with your spirit. Let's close with that, shall we? I'm glad you agree. Father, we thank you that we are going to be exploring afresh spiritual gifts. And Father God, we thank you that your word is to encourage us and to release us and to set us free. Lord, today, even today, I pray that if there's a dry area in my life, that you would breathe upon it. That, Lord, that you would give me visions and dreams. That I will believe in the supernatural as well as the natural. Lord, I bring you my natural abilities today, and I ask you to breathe upon them, that I may see your hand at work. I ask this in your name, Jesus. And God's people said, Amen.